This week on The Droids, Mando is back. Episode 1 of Season 3 has premiered, and we've got the full recap and breakdown for you. All that and more on The Droids.
Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
You got the droids.
I'm no one.
There's always a bigger fish.
Hello there.
Rebellions are built on hope.
You got a throne here.
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, I am Mike. And Chris, we have to inform our listeners. For those of you who don't listen to our lesser-known, less popular podcast, Ryan and Sam were killed off on that podcast, and we don't want to give you kind of any update on that. So go listen to that podcast.
Right.
And enjoy that one. It's called The Droids Who Died Ago. I don't, you know, never mind.
It's worth a shot. Yeah.
Because why would we update our listeners or our viewers on what's actually happened with their main characters while they were away?
Exactly. And I will say, just for the sake of our podcast, it is a story that builds over the last 200 episodes. So you'd really want to start at the beginning.
Yeah. Go back. Start all the way at the beginning.
Yeah. There you go. Look, watch the subscribes flow right in.
There it is. Yes. Flow into you. I can feel the subscribers.
Right,
flow.
Exactly. That's how we get our energy.
Well, Chris, we are sad to not have Ryan and Sam on this pod, especially as we start off this season premiere of The Mandalorian. But I think we just want to dive right into it, Chris. How'd it feel having Grogu back? Ooh. What were your emotions watching this? Were you just, you know, on cloud nine today?
I mean, I'll tell you what, it kind of picked me up. I think last week I stated I had no expectations, and I think that was the way to approach this. Coming into it, I was elated. That might be the word. I had a lot of fun with it. As soon as the show started out with the big battle with the alligator, I was in. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. We got Lucasfilm making some great TV shows.
Isn't it interesting? Because Lucasfilm and ILM obviously tied hand in hand together for the entire history of their existence. It's interesting how the special effects look on this. And we know there's a lot of time that they put into The Mandalorian. Obviously, they're working on other shows too, but you don't get that Marvel VFX feel. You don't get they rushed it out the door and something's just a little bit missing. Maybe Madoc doesn't quite look like he should. You know, I think they just seem to still be able to pull off these massive, beautiful effects while still under the gun of the same Disney rigor and asks for them to create things for shareholders.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there is a shine, and I mean, I think it is kind of the Star Wars element. It's kind of their trademark there.
Exactly. I mean, if they undercut on that, that would be
Exactly. And this is their flagship. I mean, for ILM especially, like, this is their flagship, right? This is what they demonstrate the technology on, sometimes for better or for worse.
Especially when there's no films.
Yeah.
I mean, with no films, you're right. This is it.
I do hope they keep their they're keeping their Darksaber sharp by pushing it a little bit, and they certainly did in this episode. I mean, to start out with that battle, I didn't have what we can endearingly call volumitis. I didn't get a feel for that, and that's good because I feel like first few episodes of season one, we were just excited to see Star Wars as a TV show, and I feel like we probably cut it a little more slack than it could have got as far as the visual elements go. And then, I mean, I'm kind of looking for it, unfortunately. But this episode, I think, did a pretty good job.
I was very impressed, Chris. And I just watched the Book of Boba Fett Mando episodes 2 days ago to get ready for this. And, you know, they're in the hangar in Tatooine, and you can kind of just see where, you know, the wall and then the sun in the background is just really not a place. It's clearly the volume.
Right.
This really did seem to blend. And I do think that each season it has gotten better. That's kind of the thing that I've thought, that they seem to be learning more. They seem to be doing better ways of hiding it. I don't know that. I mean, even when they walked into Navarro and we saw this new kind of rejuvenated Navarro under Greef Karga's rule, it didn't seem to me to be very volume-esque. There's a moment where they pan up to the upper turret of where Greef Karga's high magistrate resides. And that obviously didn't look real. That didn't look like a place that existed. But everything in the foreground, everything in the bottom, it just sort of blended a lot better. And that gives me heart for the fact that they can continue to do this and do it well, even though I absolutely prefer the way that they did the VFX on Andor.
Totally understand. I mean, it was just kind of like a little bonus. It's like a bonus when it all works a little bit better. And I think I agree. Yeah, the planetary stuff on Navarro and even some of the settings, it does feel overall, and this is obviously just the first episode, but it does feel overall like the I guess like the peripherals feel open, like it feels a little more expansive and it feels a little more Star Wars than the fact that we're kind of going to these different planets and we're not like, maybe it's just because we didn't go to another desert planet, but it doesn't feel as small, I think, as some of the past episodes of Mando have felt, especially like some of those middling episodes. I think this time it actually felt like we were on another planet and another environment that had miles to go as opposed to just kind of a room.
Totally agree. And I think that we saw, what, three different planets, the opening planet where the Mandalorians are. We saw Navarro, and then we saw the planet where Bo-Katan is that is apparently in the Mandalorian system. And even the background of Bo-Katan's throne, you see the waves crashing in the distance. And, you know, that's not difficult for them to do, but it just added another element to make it feel less staid, less static.
Yeah. I think that's it's funny you brought that up because I was kind of clocking that as I was watching it to think like, oh, wow, like they kind of have figured out with the volume. I feel like with a green screen, and you see it in older movies where it's like the characters in front of a green screen and then they try to do like a long hallway and then the character just looks like flat against it. I felt like I noticed in particular that Mando looked like he was actually in there and that this hallway went for a while. Like they did a very good job. And I feel like usually the volume is like a bunch of rocks around a circle or like a room with four doors. This one actually felt like they made a space that was a nice little tunnel.
I agree with you. And I think they built a lot of that with some green screen around it. But I do think I saw the moment they cut when Mando is like behind one of the pillars.
Okay.
And there's sort of like a weird disconnect. Like maybe it's just that they didn't quite have it match all up in a match sync. And it's like, wait.
I'll have to rewatch that. Yeah.
I think that he just got restarted.
Okay. It's like Mario Brothers. If he walks over to the other side, he just comes out the other side of it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, look, we're praising the VFX. We're not saying the VFX weren't.
I'm nitpicking, as they say, but it definitely looks improved, and it's always refreshing to see just what Star Wars is doing with all this. And I mean, scenery on the ground aside, let's talk about those space battles. I mean, that was like, I'll say it, a movie quality dogfight with Mando and the starfighter. And I thought that stuff was great. I was really enjoying that.
Chris, I loved every bit of it. I mean, I do think, like, you know, again, I'm not going to do the Andor comparison all the time. I love the Andor space battle with Luthen, and I love one.
Yeah. So
just let me be in space battles at all times. The one thing I did laugh out loud about was when Vane, the name of the pirate, he goes, "Avast, Mando." And I was like,
felt like upon seeing those people, I was like waiting for the credits to show that like Johnny Depp was one of them.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
And then
thing.
They even get the head pirate guy, the guy with the green beard. I hope his name is just like Greenbeard or something.
I think his name is Gorian.
Oh, right. Yes.
Gorian Rand. I don't know if he's from some other, or no, Gorian Shard.
Okay.
Some other part of maybe Clone Wars. I don't remember him.
It was just too funny.
He looked like a Clone Wars character or almost like a B-movie. And you know what? I can have fun laughing at that. Yeah. I don't mind it. I'm not saying, that's stupid.
They did it with like an air of camp, too. Yeah. It wasn't purely like, they were kind of poking fun a little bit at the fact. And he looked just like, what's his name from Pirates 3.
Bill Nye's character, for grass.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for like moldy seaweed.
Yeah, exactly.
I did love that they did the circle wipe. The circle transition on the way out. It was like, let's just keep on going a little bit. They've been doing that throughout Mando. Don't get me wrong, but it was just nice to see it.
I think tonally, to match the original trilogy, they're doing a very good job. Also, it stuck out to me, maybe because I was watching with headphones, but it stuck out to me, the music cues seemed a little like more, I don't know, put together or like on point. Altogether, I would say my overall note of the show was that it felt much tighter. Like it felt like a really well constructed episode, where I don't know I could say the same for some of the other ones.
I agree with you, and I think I honestly I didn't think that the Book of Boba Fett Mando episodes held up on a rewatch, just meaning I wasn't really entertained because I was kind of like, here's this scene that they thought they right. needed. Here's this scene
that
they
was
thought.
Kind it of just a.
Yeah.
Comparatively, it was better than what we were seeing the previous week.
Exactly. You're right. with like not being in Book of Boba Fett week to week, I was like, oh, these are, they're okay. I mean, yes, they actually were good Mandalorian episodes.
Yeah.
And on a first watch where I'm very steeped in what the lore and story they're trying to tell is, it works a little bit better.
Yeah.
But like watching Luke again in that second episode, it's, you know, their voice data use that they did to create that. It's like, how do you have such a stagnant, no intonation, no ups and downs, no like
a little,
emotion.
Just a little strange. Like, I mean, again, they're just, they're trying to push what they can do in an episodic television show. And it, I think it's different in the fact that this isn't like a show that's released on like a national network where they have to like pump out 24 episodes.
I
always think of George Lucas and his producer at the time, was it McCallan? Is that
Rick McCallan?
How they were saying they could never get a show off the ground because of the expense it would cost with effects and doing everything. And I feel like that was like 10, 15 years ago. So I feel like we're now at the point where it's like maybe we're just breaking into that where it is now affordable and Disney's doing it. And maybe even 3 years ago, they were kind of cheating a little and just pushing it through. And now I think now everything feels like it's matching up.
Well, it reminds me, Chris, that I feel like we were talking about early in the Mandalorian days. It's like, okay, let's test out this new technology. Let's see what you can do. Okay, the writing is good, maybe not great, but you know, maybe this technology can work for great writing and you know, you get great performances on the volume, it'll be fine. But then Andor came along and blew it all out of the water. And we're like, we didn't even need to like wait for the next, whatever the
Writing's well, that's the other thing too. I think like, it maybe that's a tonal decision where it's like you don't have to be as cutesy and fun with the environment when you're dealing with the subject matter of Andor. But I feel like for Mandalorian, when you got Grogu running around picking up Babu Frick.
That may have been my favorite part. I didn't think he was trying to eat him. I thought he was going in for like, I just hug things that are cute because I'm a baby.
I mean, I kind of loved all that stuff. I was really into that. I was into the whole Navarro. It's Navarro, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Navarro.
I was into the whole Navarro planet. I think it looked cool. It was kind of a refreshing look at a place in Star Wars. And also, it was us getting out of the used universe that Star Wars projects and kind of showing us.
Oh, yeah.
The pristineness of the pre-sequel trilogy world, if I could form something. So it's kind of like
post-prequel, pre-sequel.
Pre-sequel. Yeah. But like showing us that, stuff was being rebuilt. Schools are no longer bars.
How often have you run into that situation, Chris?
I'll tell you what. You'd be surprised. But it was definitely kind of a cool outlook of the universe. And we don't often get that from Star Wars. It's usually dusty, dirty, or actively being destroyed.
Well, Chris, I mentioned this in our TikTok. You know, we're trying to get a little bit more TikTok going over there. So go to Droids Pod on TikTok. Follow us there.
Yep.
I loved, as you said, the revitalized Navarro, but like you got droids walking around. You've got Womp Rats. You've got Mon Calamari. You've got Kowakian monkey lizards. You've got somebody who's out there chopping a droid with like a million knives. All I thought was, why can't Batu in Galaxy's Edge be this way? And I know that they can't have, you know, a dozen creatures walking through the streets.
But
if you had, they've got Mando and Grogu now at Disney World, just recent news for those of you out there who saw that. But they've got those characters walking around. Why can't you just have like, you know, an astromech droid rolling through at all times. Why can't you have a Mon Calamari? I know it's hot in Florida, so you'd probably be difficult with some of those suits.
I think that's something Star Wars kind of needs to decide, especially as we get new content and hopefully push past sequel trilogy or start to go into that world again. Like, there's never been like a standard of alien or like, maybe this is the wrong way to phrase it, but like, sometimes you'll see the same characters reoccurring, and then sometimes you'll see completely new aliens and droids, and like, both approaches are fine. I feel like sometimes it can get a little tricky and confusing of like, what, there's another, like how do you figure out what the pool of believable creatures is in a universe? Well, I mean, I guess ideally there's probably infinite possibilities. So
yeah, I feel that way about the dog like alien.
Yeah.
I've never thought that one looks very good. But I mean, like, you go back to the cantina and obviously they had a devil and a werewolf. So
right.
Like, what
well,
am
that's
I really
the thing
complaining,
too,
complaining
where
about?
It's like, in my mind, it's like, well, they can't all be like winner character alien designs and things like that. So it's like, why don't we focus on some of the ones that work and maybe like build them out? I don't know. Maybe that, maybe I'm being too short-sighted here. And you know what? Just if they can, if that lab can keep making creatures, all for it, do it.
Exactly. Just keep churning them out. We love
them. I don't care.
We love them all the time.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. But sometimes I'm like, wait a second, do I know these aliens, or is this a new clan of pirate aliens? Like, where do these guys come from?
Well, speaking of creatures, Chris, one creature we haven't talked about, the space whales. They're back. They're in hyperspace.
Oh, that's...
And Grogu saw them, and it begs the question that everyone wants to know, is Ezra back? Is Ezra there? Is he? Do you think that, like, in the, 30 years that have passed, he's just been riding a space whale the entire time?
I mean... That would be the cool thing of he is like a lone Jedi that can ride whales through light speed tunnels. that would be pretty epic. I was trying to figure out if there was some reference to the light of the Jedi there too. Isn't there? Mm. Didn't they talk about that in a little bit?
I don't. Well, they had the hyperspace crash.
They talk about like the whales and the things in the hyperspace?
You know what they might? You know, I bet you they do. I just don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
You know what?
Either.
I'll have to go back and listen to our 12-episode stint where we never finished the final five chapters.
Exactly. Just for really no reason. I believe we all read it. I feel like they were trying to bridge in a little bit from the Light of the Jedi, the New Republic era, which would be cool to kind of tie it in because we are in a New Republic era potentially right now, I guess. And they kind of said stuff like it's the gateway to the Outer Rim, so it got me thinking in terms of Light of the Jedi.
Yeah, well, then is Martian Rowe out there with trying to find a path back to where he needs to be?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to introduce those characters in this. I'm not saying that that's what you were getting at, but again, those connections. And then they do have a naming issue because there was the Galactic Republic.
Right.
And then I guess now it's the New Republic is what we're in the stage of. But it seems like they kind of go back and forth. But whatever.
We'll get there.
I did want to sing. I think we've had this before, but did you notice the Womp Rats were out there roasting? I think there should be a Christmas little ditty. Ooh. Womp Rats roasting on an open fire.
Oh my gosh. Droids Pod, Life Day Special, Womp Rats roasting on an open fire.
We sing all the hits. That's part of the Patreon.
Just wait.
Well, Chris, the reason that Mando is on Navarro, and the reason because you think they're in hyperspace, they're just going to make their way straight to Mandalore so that he can bathe himself in the waters below the mines and absolve himself his error of taking his helmet off.
Did you think at the beginning that was a young Mando becoming?
For a moment I did.
That was very good misdirection.
Yep.
And I do feel the fact that they also said it in the previously on about the water, finding the water thing, and then showing the water ritual, what it means at the beginning of the episode, and then having his goal to get back there. I think all three of those mentions, that really worked for me.
I thought it's really funny, though. Yeah. It's like, it's okay for the newcomer to just go in any water.
Yes.
But you, Mando, you have to go back.
them's the rules. the fact that it feels refreshing in the sense that there's no plot that's kind of holding us back at this point. And I really think that's what was also great about the first season. And I hope that's going to be what's great about this season.
Yeah, that's where I think we're all kind of like, let's not cross over too much with the sequel trilogy. Yep. Let's not cross over with Luke again.
Exactly.
Let's focus on this. And we have no Mandalorian stories, as far as I recall, past this point in time, right? We don't know. Everything that we've seen before was in Clone Wars or in Rebels.
Yeah.
Their whole story has been told in the past. So all we're seeing, if we focus on Mandalore and we focus on the Mandalorians, is new storytelling that takes us in new directions, which we all have been excited about.
Yeah. And so far, it seems to be kind of delivering on that concept. And I was pretty excited to see that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, on the flip side, I don't know that I was excited about the idea of bringing back IG-11. I think that the ending,
yeah,
the season one finale and the sacrifice that he had was so moving to me, maybe one of the most moving parts of this entire series, that let's just let him stay dead.
Yeah, I know. He was kind of like, do we think that he'll come back?
Or I think he will. I think,
Form that we recognize, though.
Well, that's a good point, because there's been droids before where they've like changed over the voices, and so it's like, we've got a piece of it. I think they will, because I think Taika likes to cook. Taika likes to, he likes to get out there and be Taika, and I think they're like, look, we've got incredible talent making a movie for us.
Yep.
If he wants to do some more voice, why would we turn him away?
Yeah, exactly. I could see it too. I thought that was hilarious. So when he like fired him up again, I was like, of course he's going to say kill Grogu. like what did they expect to happen?
It did. I saw someone comment that it's like Pedro Pascal once again trying to fight off creatures on the ground trying to kill him and his ward.
Yeah, do you think that was like a little Walking Dead kind of
nod. Like it was meant to be like because he was kind of zombie corpse.
Yeah, he was kind of hey, I'll tell you what, that's something I haven't really seen in Star Wars, is a zombie zombie droid.
Oh, good point. I think there's been fan fiction of zombie stormtroopers, but I don't think there's been any but so that doesn't work out. We get to go and see more Babu Frick. And Chris, we've talked about it before on this podcast.
Yeah.
He's the only thing from Rise of Skywalker I'm okay still existing. Like, there's nothing else.
I don't know what kind of nondescript dialect they're basing him on after either. And it still cracks me up. And just this one seemed to speak more.
Chris.
It seemed to speak more English or basic,
yeah,
I guess.
A little bit more basic. Yeah
than your average. But it was one of those, are we to believe, was Babu Frick?
Oh, yeah, that's Babu.
Yeah. Yeah. Babu. Okay. The one that was like working on him.
Yeah. And doesn't Greef say it? This is Babu Frick. I feel like he says it, doesn't he?
They were all saying Babu, though. They were all going Babu, Babu. There's a go Babu Booey. But you think that's what? But it was very funny to see those guys. And then also, I love their like little what are the guys on Fraggle Rock? The small universe.
I don't remember the name, but yeah.
Yeah, it was very funny to see like their little workshop and like how everyone fit into it. It was just like, that's just fun ILM puppet stuff. I love it.
And it was really funny that Mando, he couldn't fit in that door. So how did he get in there?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those that's called movie magic, where you just like, he's like, he's not going to go in there. And then you see him in there and it's delightful. What a delightful little scene that was.
It was pretty sweet. And we learned that he needs a new memory circuit board, a little back and forth with Greef Karga to translate. Chris, I didn't have that much of a trouble understanding Babu. I thought I understood everything he was trying to say.
I thought so too. I mean, yeah, I don't know. They would just do a little audience service. So everyone's watching with captions anyhow, so it doesn't matter.
Why is that the case now? I mean, look, I get it. I mean, I get why people are just conditioned now.
Skywalker sounds got to step up their game.
I don't know. I refuse to watch captions unless I'm watching a film in a foreign language.
I try not. It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why, I mean, look, sometimes do I ask my Siri remote, hey, what did they say? Yes.
I didn't know you could do that. That's incredible.
Oh, you didn't know that was a feature?
No.
It'll go back 15 seconds. It'll show you captions for 15 seconds, and then the captions will disappear.
Well, I will do that for all of the television shows I watch.
Because all you need to, you just say, hey, what did she say? Hey, what did he say? And it'll do it. It knows exactly what to do.
That's what she said. Very cool.
It might be literally the best Siri feature that I know of. Wow. I don't know. I don't know that I use Siri for much else other than except for setting a timer when I'm cooking.
That's fantastic.
So, there we go. He makes his exit and we get into the space battle that we talked about before. The pirates and Gory and Shard. Chris, we talked about it. Like, we've been through asteroid fields before.
Yeah.
We've seen some of this before, but I don't know. I think this is probably the most extended N1 starfighter fighting time that we've seen. And that's great. Because it was a ton in the prequels, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just, is an individual lone shit.
It was channeling a little like Obi-Wan, Jango Fett fight.
Oh, yeah,
I kind of liked his, hunter style of flying behind the asteroids and then like popping out. Like, it was cool. I thought it was a very fun dogfight in Star Wars.
It was. And I think haplessness of the pirates is always fun to see them easily be taken out. And as I think you said it, Chris, I don't feel like we're done with Gory and Shard. I think he's going to be back.
I mean, I was hoping maybe, and if I know they don't need to do this and tie it to the sequel trilogy, but I was really hoping it was like the Duquesne Boys or yeah. Ganja Club.
Chris, you've been pining for those two clubs for so long.
I bring it up a lot. I just really want to know more about these gangs.
If we can get Loras Kasdan to write, like, because, you know, JJ did great work. I would say JJ did great work on Force Awakens, but it felt like Lawrence Kasdan gave Force Awakens the je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I feel like. That's what I want more of. And, you know, I don't know that we're going to get more Kasdan after his son wasn't asked back after Solo. Though his son's working on, what? Why am I forgetting the series? The
Willow.
Willow, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was all right. Yeah,
he's all right. Still around. I don't know. I think I loved that delightfulness that they always talked about in The Force Awakens. There's a feel and a vibe to that. And there's been a lot of great Star Wars since then. And we love, obviously, Andor, Last Jedi, Mandalorian. There's something where I'm like, I could go for some more of that style again.
Yeah,
you know, more of the Poe back and forth of who talks first. Like, I want a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is definitely a space for that. It felt, in this episode, like they're trying to get a little bit of that. I think I didn't realize how dark, like, Andor actually is. It's like, you don't realize it until you see something like this.
Yeah, I agree. But it was nice to, you know, I feel like, again, this didn't feel dark to the point that you couldn't see anything like Game of Thrones.
right. Yes. Dark visually, yes. And tonally, yeah.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, did you get any kind of vibes of the Ironborn in that opening scene too, where, you know, the creed is being read to the Mandalorian child in the water?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not going to try to drown him and say, what is dead is never die.
Whatever. Right.
Anyway, I'm going to ruin that entire thing.
But
I thought that was just kind of interesting, and it reminded me of the budgets for Mandalorian per episode are on par with the budgets for Game of Thrones. And so to see some settings, like, I wonder if that setting was, we found a beach and we put up some green screen. So, because, you know, did they find a pool to put the volume around one time? I don't know about that. Maybe
it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looked good.
It looked really good.
I mean, I know they enhanced everything with VFX behind it, but
yeah,
nonetheless. We talked a little bit about Bo-Katan, Chris, but
yes,
really what we see with Bo-Katan, and I've watched all the episodes of Bo-Katan from the Clone Wars. I remember her crossing over in Rebels, and then we've seen her in season two of The Mandalorian. Never have we seen her so dejected, disinterested, defeated.
Just really just disenfranchised, like, and kind of, which I was surprised to see that. And just kind of like, what is her goal? Like, she's still like, these people, like, I'm seeking, it almost felt like revenge. Like, I don't know if she's going to be partner to Mando.
I keep on wondering if she's going to pull like a double cross, you know?
Yeah.
Saying, hey, good luck, Mando. See you. Have fun on Mandalore. Yeah. And then she'll be there to try to get the dark saber back.
An interesting, a race for the saber.
Yeah, well, because I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah, she did mention it, right?
Yeah, because she asked if she still has it. And she's trying to play maybe a long game on this. Saying, he won't think of me as a threat if I show him that I've lost everybody. And,
well,
and
also,
reality, she hasn't, maybe.
Think about this doubly. If she follows him to that kind of baptismal pool, the fountain, and then takes the darksaber, she will be the leader of the Mandalorians once again.
Well, that's what her goal is, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, I can't imagine, you know, if this is all that you've ever wanted, and your target and your step to doing that is right in front of you, you must know that you can't beat him in single combat. So let me find a way to trick. But I believe that the whole part of the lore is you have to win the darksaber in single combat. So she's just got something up her sleeve, man.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess I didn't piece that all together till right now. That's true. So, I mean, is she going to be the big bad of the season?
Interesting.
That would be a twist. Well,
that would be cool. I do think that Katie Sackhoff was great in that very short scene. I mean, she always is, but it just felt like most of the rest of the show, while we don't see, obviously, Pedro Pascal's face.
Right.
And the other actors are almost all hidden. This was the first like human face other than Greef Karga. So maybe it wasn't that great. I was just like, oh, it's nice to see some eyes.
A human, that is interesting. I also liked when they're approaching the castle. It was like, this is a Mandalorian castle. Like, I love the just the exposition to tell us what where we're going.
Yeah.
Had some very like Scotland vibes too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm always for more Scotland, and yeah, plenty of Scotland and Andor. Why not shoot some scenes?
Yeah,
in Scotland,
come on, have some more there. Yeah, yeah. I just thought it was funny that it was very much like, this is a castle, Grogu. This is where we're going.
Well, Chris, I think we kind of covered the heart of the episode there, but I'm curious. I want to ask you about, you know, when what were some of the things you just didn't necessarily like in this episode?
I felt like, as much as I love the battle in space, I felt like we didn't need the ground battle as much, or like the Old West, the shootout.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah.
Everything was kind of, we were learning a lot about the world up until that point, and then I felt like it kind of like sunk back into bad habits or old habits again, where it was like, well, all right, we're going to stop. And then I was like, oh, is this going to be like an episode of Mando just trying to get the pirates out of town? And then I was like really afraid it was going to be just a shootout behind corners of buildings for 24 minutes. So I could have done without that little interchange. And really, I feel like they could have creatively gotten to the space battle a little more cleverly, you know?
I agree with you. And I didn't think, you know, the performances were okay. I'm not saying the guy who played Vane was fine with what he was asked to do.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit, as you said, repetitive. Definitely touching on all those Western motifs. And I think sometimes they're just like, we have to put it in there. We're just going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
I did like in that scene where Mando was like, I'm going to go lean on the tree. It reminded me of the way that Boba Fett used to lean on the wall in Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi. It was just the same, like, body language and the same thing he was doing, where he's like, I'm not going to really get involved. I'm just observing here. And then
the Mandalorian comfort pose.
I like that. I wasn't a huge fan of that. And I think the other thing to me, I'm not a huge fan of is the, you know, we're just on, here's the mission of the week for Mando.
Yeah.
Meaning we start out with him coming in, saving the day. We know he needs to go to Mandalore. Well, here's the seven pieces he's going to need to check off before he gets to Mandalore.
Side quest.
And I guess, I mean, that allows them to set up some interesting things. And I have no doubt they'll do some different things with some of those side quests throughout this season. But it just, you know, in the light of a lot of other series that we watch that don't seem to just have like a video game aspect to them, even though we're watching The Last of Us, which is very many video game things to it.
It's
it's a little bit deflating when it's like, all right, here's the milk you need to go get.
Exactly. And then you deliver it, and then here's the batter, and now you can make pancakes, and then now you have to give the pancakes to the king. Yeah. I totally understand that. I hopefully we won't have much of that, and it'll just keep moving. Is this confirmed the last season? I couldn't remember that when I started watching.
Oh, I don't think that they've made any indication if it's gonna
Okay, so it could be.
I don't think I've heard anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, then they better get moving. That's all. These next few episodes, I don't want any of these middling episodes. We don't need that. We've had that.
We don't want any more, hey, let's watch 3 minutes of armor pounding just to have the same thing we've seen in each season.
Let's just move the story. That was the best part of Andor, was that it was like every episode was moving the story.
Well, they were their own episodes, right? They were satisfying in their own right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that is so good about great TV.
Yes.
And I think The Last of Us does that very well.
Yeah.
Where you've watched it and like, oh, okay, great. There was a story in this episode. It resolved a portion of it while not solving the overall story.
Yeah.
And this didn't feel that way. This first episode was like, okay, here's some things, but we didn't get any arcs in this individual episode.
Yeah, there was nothing that really... Hey, when it was over, I was kind of bummed. I was like, that's it?
Well, yeah, it almost like begs the question of whether or not this is all better on a binge. You know, we're going to watch it every week. We certainly will, but...
I'll binge it after the fact.
It did make me wonder... Like, as that final scene ended, where she was just like, okay, good luck, Din Djarin.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that was the end of the episode. I really thought there was like, well, we're going to get at least one more piece to this.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't.
Nope, nothing. Credits. And I was also surprised they usually give us, throw us a bone and give us two episodes.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did premiere two episodes to, you know, those lucky few.
Oh, really?
Invited podcasters to a premiere.
Wow.
You know?
Wars Celebration Band podcast.
I think we're banned at this point.
Copyright infringement. The Well, that's interesting. Maybe they'll do like a surprise Friday drop. You know, they like doing that stuff.
I thought they were going to do that last night. Maybe an early one on a Tuesday night.
But. And the other thing I want to touch on before we kind of wrap up here is I feel like they have they got Grogu down. Like he was doing everything this time. There was a couple scenes where they picked him up and it looked like motionless puppet. But yeah. He was wandering, he was walking. They were not afraid to use him however they wanted to. And I thought that was fun. I hope to see more of that.
Yeah, he's getting older. It's that whatever we've talked about before, and I forgot the name of it, the bassinet, just having him pop out of the ship right into the bassinet so he can move a little bit faster is a better way to do things.
Yep.
And then him spinning around the chair, stealing some candies. We talked about the hug that he gave Babu, but I also loved when he snuck down into the N1 and snuggled up to Mando. Who wouldn't want to be in that cockpit?
Also, pretty cool to know that those two little things connect.
Yeah. Probably only big enough for baby Grogu to get in there. But Chris, there was another kind of not monumental thing, but they referenced and officially ended Cara Dune as a character.
Yeah.
It was brought up as, oh, where's your Marshal? Well, the Marshal, she's been recruited by Special Forces, and nay, shall we speak of her again?
Right, she must go now. Yeah, that was pretty funny. It felt totally unnecessary to me because I didn't even think of the character before they mentioned it. But I understand there's an audience that might be wondering. So, way to go. She's gone. she's now a Special Forces agent. And we'll never see her again.
In the New Republic. It was interesting, though, that proposition, if you think about and care about the character, and we've gotten to this point where it's like, okay, his mission for two seasons was to get Grogu to a Jedi, to get Grogu back to his own kind. He no longer has that mission. He wants to just restore himself as a Mandalorian, and obviously the series is never going to kind of let him stop. He's going to have some other thing that he needs to do, even if he gets his status as a Mandalorian back. But it kind of felt very similar to me in episode, 6 of Last of Us, where they go into that town. Chris, are you caught up?
Yeah.
Okay. They go into that town in Jackson, and it kind of felt like Joel could have just settled down, raised his sheep, lived out the rest of his days, and he had a mission. He had to get Ellie to a place where they could find out if they could make a cure. Spoilers, everybody, but yeah, I guess I should have said that already. I guess I teed it up by letting you know, Chris, first. It's fine.
It's Last of Us has been around literally since 2013.
That's true. The game has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But it felt like there was a good life there for his character. And I felt like the same for Mando, for Din Djarin. There's a good life as a marshal of this planet, or, you know, just living off the land with little baby Grogu. We're not going to get that world. We're not going to get that option. But it was just interesting to see that there could be this positive place for them.
Yes, I did like that. I like that aspect. I was also wondering if he was going to sell him the land or if it was free of charge. I didn't know. That I did not know.
I mean, given that if he's the marshal, he probably gets to live on it, pro bono. It's a quid pro quo, right? A little bit. Well, I think otherwise in this episode, anything else stand out to you, Chris? Anything else that you wanted
to... Those are the big ones. The pirate ship design was cool, I thought, too. And it kind of reminded me of the bridge reminded me a little bit of kind of the Last Jedi designs.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
I like that, too.
Of the big guy. What's the
Gorian Shard.
Yeah. What's the big ship called in
Last Jedi? Oh, yeah, the Dreadnought.
Dreadnought, yes. Which there you go. Obviously the ships will reference some nautical themes, but it reminded me of that a little bit.
Do you think that they reused a set for that? I mean, I imagine they reuse sets all the time.
I bet they probably just take the little CGI model and copy paste, drag it over,
and that's why Babu's back, right? We need a droidsmith.
We got one. He's a puppet
that we can easily just get back up and running.
Yeah. That's great.
Well,
I wonder if we'll see him again, maybe in the end, and maybe we'll see Poe. And
it would be so fun to see Poe Dameron. Oscar Isaac doesn't seem like he wants to do any more Star Wars anytime soon.
He's Disney's guy.
He's in the Moon Knight. It seemed like he was done with Disney before he joined Moon Knight. So
who knows?
We'll see how that plays out.
The mouse will get you to do stuff.
There was a moment where R5 appeared to be in the background on Navarro, which R5 we've seen has been with Amy Sedaris on Tatooine. I was wondering if they're like, well, we just didn't decide to change the colors of this astromech, and it's fine. It's populating the world. It's back there. Yeah. It was interesting to me, and I wonder if it means anything.
Theoretically, maybe they made a few of the same colored models. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they produce these. The astromech company. we want answers. I did see a Constable Zuvio type character.
Yes.
In the background of another shot. I don't know if that is the Constable Zuvio or not, but...
Well, Chris, I'm not positive, but I believe that Constable Zuvio has now gotten his biggest moment of fame in Star Wars lore. He now, if you go hunt for bounties on Batuu and Galaxy's Edge, and you get 20 bounties...
Yeah.
His eyes pop up to tell you you've done a great job, and you're now part of the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Wow, so he's gonna... Oh, wow, this is great.
I think it's, look, it's the same alien species.
Yeah.
Is it Constable Zuvio? Maybe not, but it certainly seems like they took that design and said, here's the character that we're using.
Yeah. It looked exactly like him. I almost spit my drink out all over the screen.
I have to ask, we talked a little bit about Ezra, but Chris, do you agree, my thought again, that he won't really be in anything until Ahsoka? I think it would be weird to introduce him in this when it feels like Ahsoka's first plan is really she's about searching for.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if he shows up here.
I think we'll get mention of him, but I do think we will see pieces that we can kind of reverse engineer from Mandalorian. Like you said, the space whales flying. Like, I think we'll see stuff related to the Force and Grogu that Ezra will also see and be related in it. And this, it's a little bit of foreshadowing.
Mm.
That's my guess.
Force shadowing?
It's a little bit of force shadowing, if you will.
A little foreshadowing. Chris, last question I have for you. I think I don't want to spend a lot of time this season in the comparison game. And we've talked about how we love Andor as much as we loved Andor. It may be the pinnacle of Star Wars storytelling that is not, part of the original trilogy or Last Jedi. Like, I just don't know that we're going to ever see anything quite like it except for Andor season two. How did this feel to you coming off of Andor? Is this being the next series after Andor? Did it diminish the experience for Mandalorian?
I don't think it did. I mean, I think if anything, coming off of the high of Andor, this made me more excited for more Star Wars stuff. So I'm still, I feel like I'm still in the good aura of Andor. And so like the more Star Wars stuff comes out, I feel it's in very capable hands and I'm excited for more.
I think that's a very thin line. Like, as you talked about, some of the things that if they work on those bad habits again.
Yeah.
If they keep folding that in, it's going to make it harder and harder to not like be like, oh God, I just missed like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely
nature of Andor.
The goodwill will run out. Like I feel like now I'm once again giving the show the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
But like,
yep.
There could be an episode, three episodes from now where you're just like, what is this? Which is fine.
Let's go fishing for some krill.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I agree with you, Chris. I'm pleasantly surprised. Like I was really kind of down after the rewatch of the Book of Boba Fett eps because, again, as much as I enjoyed them so much on the first watch, I just wasn't really feeling them the second time through. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to be ready for enjoying. And I had a great time. I just, the more that I can go into it and just be like, all right, this is going to be a fun time in Star Wars. It doesn't have the weight of Andor, and that's okay, and that's great, and we can have some fun action within this, and they did a great job with all of that. Bring it on. Let's keep going. Let's have a lot more like it, but maybe differentiate the stories a little.
Love it. Exactly.
All right, Chris, that is going to do it for this week on the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Follow us, email us, follow us on DroidsPod on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, email us droidspod@gmail.com. For Chris, I am Mike saying so long. We'll catch you for another week of The Mandalorian next week on The Droids.
Gong, gong, any, gong, gong, any.
I'm going for some roasted womp rat for dinner tonight.
Womp rat's roasting on an open fire.
Boy, it brings me back. There it is. Some memories.
There it is. Luke Crosby.
Ha 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 ha.
Luke Crosby Walker.
I love it.